Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest episode of the Blues on Parade podcast, where all we do is talk Chelsea and talk shit about everyone else. Familiar place, familiar feeling, huh, Sam?
Oh, that's my intro. Just a sigh. Nothing else.
Nothing else. Honestly, it's getting harder and harder to record podcasts, man, because it's just like rinse and repeat. I feel like we say the same shit week in and week out. I feel like it's the same level of disappointment week in and week out. And honestly, at this point, when we drop points or we lose matches, whatever the case may be, if we hear about another injury, whatever it is, it doesn't even hurt anymore. It's almost to that point of like, you're just numb to it. It's almost expected. Like every time I see a Fabrizio Romano tweet and it has like those blue circles and it says Pochettino in a quotation mark, like I'm just automatically expecting to read something depressing, whether it's an excuse or whether it's an excuse that he doesn't want to say the details of, like the injury crisis. If it's, oh, we're young. If it's, oh, so-and-so got injured, picked up a knock in training. Whatever the case may be, it's just, it's all too predictable, isn't it?
That quote you referenced about how they know what's happening with injuries, but they can't speak about it. What the fuck does that mean? What? Do they, like, find, like a dead body buried under Stamford Bridge that like cursed the team injury? What could it possibly be that they can't talk about it? Right. Like, I mean, I just like can't even imagine what the reason would be.
He said, just to clarify, quote, "We know why we have so many injuries, but we cannot explain it."
We know, okay, so yeah, we know why, but we can't explain it. So either that means they don't know why, or it means that they don't want to come out, like, to the public for why.
And look
like the first one doesn't make sense, so I think it's the latter. Like, I don't know what that reason could possibly be.
I mean, we have state-of-the-art technology. You know, nowadays, with the way medicine and just general PT and, I mean, whatever you want to call it, progressed, it's like, how come other teams have it figured out? How come every other sport and every other team, even in this sport, seems to have the injury bug figured out? Nah, like, I get it. I remember under Conte 1 year, we had like 7 injuries, I think. And that was really bad, right? We had a couple hammies, we had a couple knee injuries, whatever. Shit happens. Those seasons should be happening like once every 5 to 7 years. And that should be for a team that has mileage on their legs, that's playing in multiple tournaments. It shouldn't happen to a team of a bunch of 21-year-olds who don't necessarily have the mileage. And the guys that you would think should be getting injured are the ones not getting injured. Cole Palmer's played every single game. Enzo played the World Cup and then came right back and played every single game for Chelsea. Never got injured.
And unfortunately, like, it doesn't make sense to me. And unfortunately, Raheem Sterling is staying healthy as well.
And he has mileage. It doesn't make any sense. So, like, I know it's speculation, Sam, but to me, it's one of two things, and I think it's a little bit of both. We're not at the training ground, but I don't think these players showed up to the season fit. Like, I don't think whatever we did in preseason was just not enough. Like, you have this many muscle injuries to start off the season. That goes to fitness. That goes to those muscles being overworked and having too much of a strain put on them in too little time. Like, when you condition yourself for a regular season, you have to start way out. It's a year long. It's a year round process. It's not, oh, I'm just going to start running a month before the season starts and I'll be okay. That can be one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And two can be that this staff has no fucking idea what they're doing in terms of injury prevention, strength and conditioning, and just monitoring the player's day-to-day fitness and readiness.
Yeah. But, I mean, it could also just be that we're unlucky. Like, that's possible too, but I don't know.
I want to believe that in certain cases. Like, I think, like, the Ben Chilwell, Reece James situation, maybe that's chalked off the bad luck. Fofana, okay, you know, the guy has had a bad injury, you know, for what, the third time in his career, and he's not even 24, 25?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe that's bad luck. But I'm just seeing too many muscular injuries. I'm seeing too many knocks being picked up in training. Like, to me, this is... That's alarming.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, and the thing is, you said, like, the best, our biggest, most important players, like Barr, Nkunku, and Reece James, have been healthy this year. So, for the most part, at least. So, I don't think we need, like, we can put too much blame on the injuries. Like, yes, we've had a lot, and yes, it's affected. Like, we don't have our best 11 ever, but we have enough. And a lot of the injuries, a bulk of them, are bench players or players that, you know, will come in every once in a while or start every once in a while. Not that important. And I understand the idea of, you know, having fresh legs, rotating, all that stuff, but we just can't say that is the biggest issue, the injuries. I don't think that's the biggest issue.
I think it's one of the many issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's the theme of the pod, right? Is that it's not, for once, we're not going to sit here and just blame Poch for, you know, a shitty result. I think it's a mix of everybody kind of being accountable from top to bottom. You know, the fact that the squad is so young, the fact that there's no identity for this football club, you know, we're already in April. The fact that there's injuries, the inexperience in the squad, the lack of leadership. I mean, it kind of goes down the line.
I think my biggest issue with this team is just it's defending set pieces and crosses. Like, that is my biggest issue. Like, by far, because if we solve that, we're probably like pushing for top six, top five this season for sure. Because we've lost so many matches and dropped so many points because of that. Like, you look at the Arsenal match this weekend against City, they defended 7 corners, 31 crosses, 6 of which were accurate. Okay, so that is elite defense.
To the defending, yeah.
Yes, like that. They did such a good job. I mean, we can laugh and make jokes about how Arteta parked the bus, and he kind of did, but like, the organization, everything was amazing. They did such a good job. They completely shut out Haaland, and for us, we defended 4 corners, 10 crosses, eight of them. Which were accurate. So, like, we faced like a third of the volume and conceded two goals. I mean, given that first one was very lucky, the second one came off a corner, and they almost scored another one off the corner. We were lucky to walk away with 1 point.
I called it in the crossbar. I said J. Rodriguez winner.
You did, you and fucking asshole.
And he almost banged.
Oh my god. So that is, I think, the number one biggest issue with the club. And I think we should bring Thiago Silva back into the squad as soon as possible.
Well, we might have to if Malo Gusto's out, because we don't have any more healthy fullbacks unless he's going to play Gilchrist as a right back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny that you bring it up, you know, the way that we can just crumble. And to your point, Sam, yeah, it's frustrating that, you know, we can't defend set pieces or crosses in open play. But what's more frustrating is the fact that when we score a goal, it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to concede pressure immediately and ultimately concede a goal. Like, every goal we score gets wiped out because the other team comes right back down the other end, and within 10 or 15 minutes of us scoring, they apply a lot of pressure and they get a goal and they get right back into the game. And I mean, this one was just inexcusable all the way around, because again, it's 10 men and we're playing against one of the worst teams in the Premier League. And looking at the way we started the match, like, yes, we were attacking and it was open and, you know, Mudryk and Cole Palmer were causing all sorts of problems. But every time Burnley would counter or even possess the ball a little bit, they turned the screw. And all of a sudden, we're playing on our heels. Like, why is Burnley able to play so easily through our midfield and they're able to play so easily down the flanks? It was just... it was laughable. Like, what are we actually doing out there?
Yeah, you know, it's been 12 matches since we've kept a clean sheet. If my I just counted manually, so I might have missed one. But
where's that stat we had? I don't, forgot who sent it, but there was a stat about how many points we dropped from losing positions or from winning positions this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot.
It's something ridiculous. I think it was only like we picked up 4 points or something like that from winning positions.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's unfortunate because Cole Palmer, his performance was so good. You know, thought that he got the winner and we concede like 3 minutes later. Like, that's just exactly what you're describing. Like, it's a poor guy.
And Sterling did so well to get that assist to him, and he came on and made an instant impact, and then
missed the header.
The most open header I think I've ever seen this season from any of our players. I don't care if that's not your game. You're a professional footballer.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even... you just got to redirect it, man. You just got to get a little touch on it. And for you to miss the entire frame of the goal is just a joke. It's a complete joke.
Like, I would have been happier if he hit it right at the keeper. Like, I would have been still mad, but, like, less I would have taken that. Yeah, less mad.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know what to make of this season. I don't know what to make of Pochettino. I don't know what to make of the rumors that we're going to sell Reece James and... Conor Gallagher this summer.
That's a joke.
Like, I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm okay selling Gallagher, and I think I'm okay selling Reece James for the right price. But yeah, I mean, the team dug themselves in a hole that we need to get out of. I, as long as we like make the right purchases after that, I'm okay with it. But so far, they don't have a great track record of like picking out the right talent.
I mean, Gallagher, you get a pretty good chunk of change for him, which it sucks to say, because I think under a team that actually has an identity, there is definitely a way to make Conor Gallagher way more useful than Pochettino's been using him, right?
Yeah.
You know, just to have that kind of player who's a ball winner in the midfield, the physicals, you know, he's physical, he can run for the full 90. You know, that can be a great impact player. That can be a guy that you could bring on late in games just to mix things up, to bring some extra energy, to just kind of lift the energy of the entire side. Help close out games, seal results. I mean, why wouldn't you want a guy in the team like that? But the fact that he's starting at the 10 against a team like Burnley. Like, you know Burnley concedes chances. You know that. If any match is the match to just kind of go all in, and, you know, maybe even start Madueke. Dare I say it? Maybe even start Sterling. Move Cole Palmer on the inside. Move Mudryk on the inside. Like, there were opportunities there to play a more attacking, progressive side. And, you know, we didn't. I'm not going to pin that as, you know, I'm not going to make that the reason why we drew this match, because in other matches, when Conor Gallagher started the 10, like Aston Villa, which I think was our best 90-minute performance all season, he was brilliant, and he did a great job. But I don't know, man. For me, it's one of those times where I really can't look at Mauricio Pochettino and be like, yep, you're the reason why we lost this match, or you're the reason why that it had nothing to do with that. I think it was a pretty strong starting 11 considering the players that were available, and the substitutions were right on time. Like, he made the same exact subs that I would have made for once, you know, bringing on Noni,
yeah,
bringing Sterling, just really trying to turn the screw and get that third goal. Like, obviously that's the right move in that situation. But I mean, let's just kind of start with, we have our Twitter questions here, but before we even get into it, the Petrovic error, Sam, because that first goal was a worldie. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
Second goal, I mean, it looked like Petrovic tried to catch it, you know, didn't get a strong enough hand on it, and makes probably his first major error since coming into the side, what, right before the new year? Are we really concerned about that?
Nah, I'm not.
Same. Should we move on?
Because, I'm not that worried.
Yeah, no, I'm really not that worried about it. And look, like, goalkeepers,
like in the amount of time that Petrovic has started, Robert Sanchez had made like 5-6 mistakes. Like,
yeah,
you know, he's just made his first one. I think I'm relieved that it's only been one.
I really don't get the hate around Petrovic. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, he's not a ball playing goalkeeper and yada yada yada. I'm like, okay. And who's the best goalkeeper in the world right now? Arguably Jan Oblak. You know, Thibaut Courtois. Are they ball playing goalkeepers? No.
No.
So I don't really see why it's an issue. I mean, yeah, Alisson is great. Cool. That's one. Ederson is great, but he's not an elite shot stopper. I don't think he is. So it's like,
pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good, but like, how many goalkeepers have that full package where they're elite at both? Neuer in his prime, maybe? Ter Stegen? Maybe you can make the argument for him. Onana's an elite midfielder.
The full package.
But yeah, no, I'm not worried about Petrovic. And look, the guy's young. He came in and if we're really going to nitpick his mistake and say, oh, you know, is it? No. I mean, you're directing your anger at the wrong place, because if you want to look at all the new signings, you got Cole Palmer, you got Malo Gusto, have been brilliant. I think Petrovic is a close third in terms of just sheer consistency and coming in and being an impact player. But
yeah,
let's move on. I want to talk about the defense a little bit. And Albie DeGrasso asked us a question, aka at BDKane24. He said, how can a defense be this bad on every single set piece? It's inexcusable. They should spend the entire week practicing set piece defending. Sam, you talked about this earlier. Albie's right on the same page as you.
Sorry, Albie. Yeah, we should have read this question before I went into it. But, I mean, I kind of already made my case. I think that's the single biggest issue with this team. And, like, if we not even completely fix the issue, just, like, improved in it, like, we don't need to be the best in the world, like the best in the league at it, like, just an improvement would have made the world of a difference this season.
I think we just got to go back to basics, and the basics of defending: stay on your man, challenge, be first to the ball, and clear your lines.
I don't know,
it's really simple.
But, like, I mean, I don't know what the issue is. Like, I can't identify it, because, like, I'm assuming they are doing that, but it's just, I can't explain. Like, I see that it's an issue, but, like, like Pochettino said, I can't explain it.
Is this one of the and call me crazy, but I mean, Body of Shield coming back into the team after being out for a while because he had to. Obviously, Chalaba picked up an injury. I mean, I have a little bit of sympathy. Like, call me crazy, but I mean, the guy just gets thrusted right back into starting 11, ice cold. I mean, you'd expect him to have a few rickets. In my opinion, he was one of the issues in conceding that second goal because guy's completely flat-footed until the Burnley player starts to challenge for it. I mean, he just reacted.
What are you talking about?
Body of Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Is that crazy? Yeah.
Crazy to have sympathy for him?
Yeah, in that situation. Like, I'm not making excuses, but, like, come on. I mean, he's coming into already disjointed side, and his match fitness is just not there in terms of his thought and his physical, you know. I mean, he just came out of an injury, so I don't know. Look, it was still poor. There's no excuse in general, but I'm just saying, you know, hindsight is 20/20 in that situation. Maybe if we had a healthy Trevor Chalaba who was playing, you know, 4 or 5 matches on the spin, match fit, great. Maybe we clear our lines, but I don't know. Just a thought. Brandon, aka at Wilson for USA, he asks a very simple question. Is this normal? And in parentheses, Cole Palmer had a 10.0 sofa score rating. Oh.
No, he posted the picture. I just put that as a description of it. But
well, he posted a picture of the 10.0 sofa score rating. Sam, I mean, Cole Palmer. He's too good for us, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, we should have read the questions before we talked about it because I've already made my case. It's unfortunate. Poor Cole Palmer. Where the fuck would we be without him?
What about his quotes at the end of the match? I mean, he seemed very frustrated, and I liked it. I think that shows that, you know, he's not there to just sit back and accept mediocrity and accept the process. You know, he wants to definitely force the issue, and I think his game is showing it.
Yeah.
And also shout out to Stevie Nickel, who said Cole Palmer drifts in and out of matches. You fucking cunt. You have no idea what you're talking about. Anyways, moving on. John Anomics, what happened in training? Are they using live ammo and that's what's causing all the injuries? Of course, it's not Poch's fault that his training methods are killing our squad. I mean, that kind of dives into my theory a little bit, but my thing is, what happens on the recovery table? Like, what is this training staff telling the players before they go back out onto the pitch? Like, there has to be some sort of oversight in terms of the training staff, doesn't there?
I don't know, man. I can't. I don't know at this point.
I thought you were gonna throw out a hashtag. Bring back Eva Carneiro.
I mean, definitely bring her back. I would love to have her back. She's a
hottie.
Very lovely lady. Yes. That as well.
And she's a fucking great trainer too.
Yeah, but there's bad blood, like a lawsuit or something. I can't remember exactly the details, but something didn't end on great terms. I can't remember the details.
I wonder what she's up to nowadays. Anyways, Ron, aka Bone Daddy Cool, aka Bone Daddy Deluxe, aka Bone Daddy Supreme. How can we have conceded as many goals as last season at this point? 7 games with leads in a row in which we let the leads slide.
Oh, that was the quote you were thinking of? Or the stat?
No. There was an actual stat about it. It had, like, the possible points that we could have won from winning positions and the amount of points that we actually picked up.
Well, this one was pretty bad, too.
Pretty damning. Yeah, I mean, he says we can't really blame Thiago Silva on this. I mean, I think that conversation's just too far gone.
Why did we not read the questions earlier? Because this was literally our whole conversation so far, this podcast.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, it's just, I feel like we're repeating ourselves every single podcast. And it just kind of goes beyond that because it's so obvious what's going on at the club. We can see it. Our listeners can see it. It seems like everyone on Twitter can see it too. Like, we are all unanimously on the same page with this, I feel like. I just feel like the only difference between, you know, certain people is that teeter-totter of, is it more on Poch or is it more on the board? Like, I feel like there's some people that place more blame on the board and some people place more blame on Poch. I'm in the middle at this point.
You see Strasbourg?
Yeah.
What their fans are doing? They're actually protesting Bluco.
The Chelsea fans should join those protests.
Maybe. Maybe.
Ron also thinks the season is over, says we're not getting Europe. And the only thing that could save our season, and I actually agree with him, is that City win the league and it's not Klopp or Arsenal.
Dude, I saw this post on Twitter today. It was, it's saying either Liverpool 20 titles, Arsenal guard of honor, or City 4-peat. And it's like a picture of like who killed more, Stalin, Hitler, or what's his name, Mao Zedong. like literally, it's like I think all three options are pretty bad. Like City is maybe the less of all three evils, but a 4-peat is like pretty historic, and I don't know. I just don't want Arsenal to win. I think that's my number one most desired outcome.
Well, what sucks is that City kind of, they didn't shit the bed, but they kind of shit the bed. Because their run-in is pretty tough, and they don't really have any room for error.
Yeah. They've done it before.
I know. I don't want Klopp to do it, and I don't want Arsenal to do it either.
Yeah.
The real question is, would you rather have Arsenal or Liverpool? But, like, I don't want to throw up right now, so I don't even want to think about it.
Liverpool for sure, in my opinion. Don't want Arsenal. Arsenal, it's been 20 years, bro. 20 years.
I gotta
keep that banter up.
Yeah, I gotta agree. Vano at Waiting for Kendry. Shout out to Vano, by the way. He's been asking questions and sending in his comments like every week for what, a couple months now. Yeah. Is it time for a knighting, Sam? I think it is.
Yeah, well, I think so.
Ron, if you're listening, we definitely need you to hit up Vano, a.k.a. at Waiting for Kendry. He said, these boys are good enough. I have no doubt the talent is there, but the direction and tactics are all off. We drop points to a 19th place team with 10 men. Piss, we have to wait till the summer to can him. He's a glorified childminder. Get a proper tactician in and let's see. I want to bounce off this question and pose another question, Sam. Mauricio Pochettino was asked by a reporter. He said, you know, most of the players that you have are between the ages of 21 and 24. And for most Premier League players, that's usually the time where they need the most playing time and the time where it's basically make it or break it in terms of whether or not they'll cut it in their career. And he basically posed that question to Pochettino. He said, you know, do you think all your players are going to be able to make it? And Pochettino just said, well, that's an interesting question. And he without an answer. That's what he said. He said, that's a great question without an answer. What do you think? Honest opinion.
Like, which players are good enough to make it, you're saying? Or
he said,
my opinion on his answer?
Well, no. I mean, your opinion on, like, maybe not call out the players individually, because we do need to see a lot of them under different managers, under different tactics, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Guys like Mudryk, guys like Madueke, you know. I even think, like, people like Badiashile, too. Like, but give me a percentage. I mean, 90% of the squad is between 21 and 24.
Let's say 70%, I say.
70%.
Yeah.
You're talking top level quality or just Premier League quality?
Premier League quality, yeah. 70% Premier League quality. You lower or higher?
I think there's a lot of... I agree with Vano because I think the talent level... And I mean, we've seen good moments from pretty much every player. I think it's just inconsistency and them getting selected injuries and so on and so forth. I'm going to go like 80%.
Okay, a little higher.
I think there might be three or four out of this crop that might not be able to cut it as of right now.
Yeah.
But we got Man U next. I mean, fuck the Burnley match. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. But Man U's coming up. They're coming to the Bridge on Thursday. We're recording on Monday night. I mean, some. They're in shambles too, but I looked at their last 10 matches and they've looked in pretty good shape.
The last 10 matches, results.
8 wins. They got 1 win against Liverpool in the FA Cup. They just drew against Brentford and they conceded a 99-minute equalizer, thank God, because I didn't want Mason Mount to fucking score a winner. So that was nice.
I was so mad.
They have 2 losses in the new year. One of them is the Man City.
Yeah, I mean, this United team is like the anti-Chelsea. I feel like they look like absolute shit. Like they have looked worse than Chelsea this season, but they have somehow gotten results, and I like just don't understand how. They don't create very good high number of like quality chances. Their defense is very shaky. Their keeper has been on and off this year, but somehow they keep on picking up results, and that's just something that we've been lagging. So I don't know. It could go either way. I'm not confident, obviously, but I think United is massively overperformed for how, you know, how well that they have been playing.
I mean, their manager is the bald Pochettino.
Yeah, is that what they say? He's the bald Pochettino?
Pretty much. That's what I say. Look, I mean, I think the Man United is a mixed bag. You don't really know what you're going to get. Every match, they'll pull up and they'll either play like shit and win or play like shit and lose.
Yeah.
And I think that's the scary thing, because we know they're going to play like shit, and we tend to play down to, you know, the level of our opponents. The only difference is we leak goals like crazy and United doesn't. Like, they defend relatively well. Like, if you can give them credit for one thing this season, it's somehow figuring out a way to, you know, defend at a decent level with Harry Maguire and with Johnny Evans in the squad. Like, that just blows my mind. Yeah. But they also, I think the difference between them and us, and anti-Chelsea is actually a really good way to describe them, because, yeah, they play like shit and they're not appealing to the eye, but they do get results. They have experienced players. Like, they have, you know, experienced internationals in their side, as much as I hate to say it. The only one I won't give credit to is Bruno Fernandes, because he's a piece of shit. But other than they got winners in their side, as much as I hate to say it. You know, Casemiro's a winner. Rafa Varane is a winner.
Yeah.
You know, like they have guys.
Yeah, those are players we're missing for sure.
Yeah, just experienced leaders that you know what you're going to get. They'll give you that 7 out of 10 every single week. And they hold their teammates accountable. And what they also have that we don't have is goals from the midfield. Like, I know, you know, take Cole Palmer out of the equation. How many goals do Enzo, Gallagher, and Caicedo have together? Hardly any. Scott McTominay has 7. I think he has double the amount of goals that our whole midfield has. And the guy's a fucking DM. So, he's a Scottish Fellaini. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Predictions?
I don't know. I'm going to predict like a 1-1 draw.
I'm going to predict 2 more Chelsea injuries to United. Well, that's 0 injuries.
That's a guarantee.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we don't know. We didn't even know what's going on with Malagusto.
No, but I've been looking it up all day.
That was a great end. Like, just cherry on top of that fucking Burnley match.
I have a little bit of hope about the Malagusto thing, because, I mean, the guy puts in a lot of mileage. Just match over match. But it looked like could have possibly been a cramp, because the second the medical staff came up to him, they gave him one of those sugar gelatin packets.
Mm-hmm. That I noticed that too.
Yeah, like you oftentimes see the players that fast during Ramadan, like right when they break their fast, that's the first thing they put in their body because it just has a bunch of electrolytes and, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it was, but I don't know. Hopefully that's what it is. Otherwise, we're going to see Gilchrist and Cuckoo and...
I don't know.
And neither of them know how to overlap or play across to save their life, so
yeah,
that'll be a tough one. But anyways, that brings us to the end of this episode. Sorry, it's been so depressing.
Yeah, this is probably our worst episode ever. I'll just
say
that.
One of. But guess what?
I wasn't in the mood, Zach.
We record at the level our team plays, just like Chelsea plays at the level of their opposition, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's all tied in. It is. When Chelsea's elite, we tend to be elite. There's more to talk about. I'm sorry. Like, what do you want us to talk about?
Yeah, serious shit every week.
Yeah, so... Anyways, until next week, hopefully we have more to talk about. Keep the blue flag flying high, guys.